And we're recording now. It is Friday, December 6th, 2013 in Peoria, Arizona. Sending across some, state your full name.
Joseph John McCord.
And where were you born?
I was born in St. Paul, Minnesota, on the 24th of April, 1934.
That was in, I want to say Hennepin County?
I think that's correct. Yeah, that sounds right, Hennepin County.
And where did you grow up?
Oh, my. Well, because of the job that my father had all over the Midwest. This is after he had been shot by a couple of gangsters who mistook him for a policeman. So that ended his flying career. He was a radio man for Northwest Airlines. But after the shooting, he couldn't go back and do that anymore. So what he did was find a job with the old CAB, Civil Aeronautics Board, and they would move him from city to city to install radio towers at airports, which were being built like mad all over the Midwest. So we would move to a new city. He would precede us by a few weeks. We would move to the new city, and we, in this case, was Edith, Jan, Colleen, and myself.
Right. You were one of, well, I guess technically eight children.
That's true. One had died before I was born. That was Jerry.
Right.
Okay. The other children were, by age, Beau and Mary, Roy Jr. and Mary.
And they're 10 years older than you.
Yes.
Close to 10 years.
Patricia, who was about six or seven years older. Colleen, who is about five, and Jan, who I think is three.
You skipped Jean.
Oh, I forgot. She's the oldest.
Right.
And so she was probably, if she was still alive today, be 12 years older than I.
Right. So you, so, but the family you remember when you were growing up was, as you said, you and Edith. Edith with your, was your stepmother. We'll get back to your mother later. And Jan and Colleen. So your memory is not of a single place.
No.
But moving all around the Midwest.
Midwest. Yep. Half a dozen different places. But in each case, the pattern was the father would move to a new city. A couple of weeks later, well, he'd find a place for us to live. And then we would follow him to the new city. And he would work there 6, 8, 10 months, depending on how long the particular job took. And then the pattern would be repeated again in a new city and usually in a new state. I know we lived in both North and South Dakota, Iowa, and Omaha, Kansas, well, of course, Minnesota. And that's all I can remember as far as the states were concerned.
Sure. Well, you mentioned in passing what is family lore about your father getting shot. There actually is some historical documentation of it.
Yes, there is.
I remember.
I have it.
You have some?
I have it.
There was a,
all the clippings that he has saved, I have the originals.
This was when, this was, I guess this was still during Prohibition, right? And there were gangs, like rum runner gangs.
Well, it was 34. When had Prohibition been overturned? I thought it was earlier.
Actually, you're right. Yeah,
I think
you're right.
32.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, but out of that came these criminal gangs.
That's the point. That Prohibition led to these criminal gangs. So much for trying to legislate morality. People wanted to drink.
Right. And this and was the Ma Barker gang?
This was one of her sons.
Right.
One of her sons. And then another guy named Little Snake Eyes, Alvin Karpus.
Alvin Karpus, right.
Alvin Karpus. And what had happened was my father was at the airport with other crew members, and the wife of one of the pilots called in and said, there's a suspicious car down on the street, across the street.
As I recall, there had been some kidnappings of judges.
There had been kidnappings. One of them was, I think it was John Brenner, and they were indeed casing where John Brenner lived.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not solid on the first name, but last name I am. And so she was right. They were casing the place. So my father and two others foolishly went to investigate. Now, this is February. It's dark. It's cold, but it's dark. So they put on their heavy jackets, and they had on the caps that were pilot caps, because the whole crew wore the same kind of cap, not just the pilots.
This would have been February 1934.
February 34. And they went to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
My father was sitting on the passenger side of the front seat. Another fellow driving, another fellow in the back seat. They pulled alongside the car in question and looked in. And as soon as Barker and Carpus saw them, they just assumed they were policemen because of
heavy black coats,
and bill caps. So they let go with a sawed-off shotgun, and I believe it was a 45, and they put an awful lot of holes in that car. Well, one of the bullets passed through my father's stomach. The driver got hit in the arm. He got hit in the arm. The guy in the back seat dove for the floor, and nothing happened. So then the car was still moving when they fired at it. It kept moving, and it crashed into a light post or a telephone post. Again, I'm not sure which.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two. The two gangsters came over, looked in, realized they weren't cops, took off. Okay. Later, they were captured. And in fact, my father testified at the trial of Alvin Carpus. And it was Bob Barker. What happened to him was, well, in those days, nobody had insurance.
Right.
It just didn't. It's just not something that existed. And we didn't have any money. So the St. Paul newspapers put on a drive,
mm-hmm,
to raise money for him.
For this wounded man and
for
his
this wounded
wife
man
with seven
and
children.
Seven children, right. And a picture of them. I remember I wasn't born yet.
Right.
Well, no, Jerry had died by then.
Right. So it was six kids.
Six kids.
And one on the way.
And one on the way. And they're sitting on the couch, and they look terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But that was printed in the newspapers, and money just flowed in. Now, when I say that, by today's standards, it was nothing. We're talking about quarters and 50-cent pieces.
Sure.
Then.
Sure.
That was something.
Yeah.
You know, when the average wage was maybe a dollar, dollar and a half a day, for somebody to send 50 cents was a big deal. Children sent nickels and dimes, even pennies to it. And the paper listed everybody. I think they listed the amounts, but I would have to check the copies of the newspaper to verify that. So there was enough money for him to get through the operation.
Right.
Very little for the rest of us, because it was taken up in his medical costs.
Mm-hmm.
But we survived.
And there was no equivalent of a, well, I was going to say a VA, but your father wasn't actually in the military, was he? Just
in the First World War.
In the First World War, he was.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Is that right? He was born in 1903. And First World War ended in 19.
That's right. 17, 18.
So he was a teenager?
He was 15, and he didn't belong in the Army, but in those days, if you walked into a recruiting station and you could breathe,
mm-hmm,
they signed you up. Now, he never served overseas, and he served for like 2 years at the most. Again, I'm not 100% positive.
Right.
It wasn't a long time.
Now, your father was Roy Norman McCord.
That is correct, senior.
Senior, right, because your brother,
is junior.
Beau, is Roy Norman Jr., and he had a twin brother, Ray.
Yes, he did.
Do you remember his full name?
Ray, no. Ray died when both boys were small.
I thought he died when they were teenagers. I thought he died like 1916, 17. Edith once told me that that would be your stepmother. Maybe I'm getting this wrong. That might have been the great flu epidemic.
Oh, the flu epidemic. Well, that wasn't until 18.
Was it 18?
It was 1918.
When the soldiers returned from World War One. When they returned from Europe.
I would go with Edith because I just don't remember.
Sure, of course, right. No, you. Yeah, I wasn't around either.
In fact, I wasn't born yet, so I would go with Edith's recollection.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So.
So your mother passed away. How old
shortly
were you?
After I was born.
So you have no memory of her whatsoever?
None, not a single one.
And her name was?
Marie, maiden name Helms.
Right. And everybody knew her as Minnie.
Minnie.
Right.
Yeah, that was her nickname. Okay, so she died not long after I was born.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think she got pregnant again, and it was just too much. She couldn't take it.
Number 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the old man waited about 6 months, and then he remarried. Edith had never been married, so she might have thought, I'll never be married unless I marry this guy.
Because they grew up like next door to each other. Farms.
Close to. They knew each other as children.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they actually played together, but they knew each other.
Well, I recall her telling me that when she was young, she thought Roy was one of her cousins. And then later on, and I don't know the circumstances, I don't recall the circumstances under which they remet later and remarried, but he kind of showed up and said, guess what, we're not cousins, so they got married. That was her short version of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't recall. You don't know those stories. Okay. So you moved around.
All I know is I was told that they knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about it. That doesn't mean they played together or.
I wish I remembered the stories better. I didn't spend a whole lot of time with Edith, but when she moved from her longtime home in Lancaster down to Orange County, where you all were putting her in some kind of assisted living facility. We had a drive, and she opened up in a way that she had never opened up with me before. And I heard her talking about Roy. She talked about Ray McCord, who she couldn't stand. She called him a meanie.
Well, she may be right about the 1918 thing.
And she took a trip.
Oh, I know. The one who died was my brother. He died young.
Okay.
Like at 2.
Right.
2 or 3.
Right.
That's what I was thinking of, not Ray.
Right. Jerry, yeah. And then Edith told me a story about taking a trip out to Los Angeles on the train, but she never made it because she got sick, and it turns out she had typhoid, and she had to be quarantined, and then the authorities sent her back home. Yeah, this is all new to you. I wish I'd had this recording equipment 25 years ago before she passed on. But let's get back to you. So Edith was your mother. You didn't know any other mother.
I didn't know any other mother.
At what point did you settle down? Is there a town from your childhood or from your adolescence that you consider your hometown?
No, not from that period, and not from the California period, although we lived in Eagle Rock for several years.
Right, tell me about that. Remember you and I drove through Eagle Rock once, and you mentioned that you had, so when did you live there?
Hello.
We're going to pause for a moment.